Okay, so that would be me. I'm not used to looking at the bulletin, seeing the word sermon and moving. You get so used to doing certain things that you don't know what to do when it changes. But would you pray with me? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, givers of the Holy Spirit, thank you for this unbelievable gift. And we ask, Lord, that you'd enable us to ring true and clear, that the sounds that you bring through our bodies would be sounds that are glorifying to you and that build up your church and witness to the truth of the gospel. So may my words be words that flow in that train. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, first of all, that scripture reading from Colossians is something that's been on my mind for probably 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know how many people saw the bulletin last week, but I referred to that scripture reading in the last piece, in the postlude that I played, that we're seated, this Bible doesn't say this exactly, but seated with Christ in heavenly places. There's a very real sense in which when we read this passage from Colossians, that literally is the case, that Christ is with God in heavenly places, and we are with Christ. It's a little hard to understand that, because it's sort of odd, you know what I mean, to say you're dead, and you're in Christ, and you're in heavenly places. But, you know, when you think about what Paul said through the book of Romans, as he went through the book of Romans, he said, you know, now, you know, he says, I'm a new creature in Christ. And he says, now the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things that I want to do, I don't find myself doing. And he expresses this incredible frustration that now he understands what's demanded of him, and he doesn't quite feel capable of being able to pull it off. And he says, asking this question, who is going to deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to deliver me from this problem, this situation that I'm in? And he says, thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, I am conqueror. I'm a conqueror because of what Christ has done on my behalf. So therefore, I could say to you, and you could say to me, you're dead. So that ultimately, when we pass from this world into the other world, it's just a realization on our part that we are what we already are. We find ourselves to be exactly what we are. And I love that passage in Colossians where it says, you are hidden in Christ. And when Christ appears, you'll appear in him. You'll appear with him. It's such a personal thing. And in light of that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that we're brought into the family of God, that we're, in essence, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, temples of the Holy Spirit, collectively the bride of Christ. In light of that, how should we live? What should we do? How should we behave? Anyway, I think I want to express on this Music Appreciation Sunday that it has not yet appeared what we shall be musically. It has not yet appeared how we will be transformed, but we know the transformation will be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will be ambassadors for Christ in whatever that whatever that mode or method or vehicle is. So I want to thank the congregation. Notice how a year ago, we stopped the children's choir, which is like, well, it wasn't such a big deal for me because, you know, we got to the point at some times where we only had one or two. And, you know, you don't have much of a choir if you have one. Unless you hear voices in your head, you suppose you're going to. But if you've only got two for whatever reason, it's probably not a good idea to put those two kids in front of the congregation and say, here's the choir. It's not a good idea. So it's irrelevant whatever the reasons could be that that would happen. The reality is that there needs to be enthusiasm. There needs to be in breath of life from God into that which we do. Otherwise, if we just did it constantly irregardless of what was happening, it would be the ultimate essence of new wine in old wineskins. Worse yet, it's be like new wine in cracked pottery. Sometimes we try to make it happen again the way it used to be. You know, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old... Well, anyway, I get carried away. The choir knows that. But think about the old-time religion. I don't know about how you feel. Bach, when Bach was composing and wrote all that glorious music that we can only manage to muster up enough ability to do once every 10 years, he was doing it every week. He wrote a cantata every week of the year. Now, that's, maybe somebody could do that, I don't know, but imagine doing it in candlelight with a quill pen, you know? So those situations are those situations. Then you go forward further. You've got families that are living at home, let's say the turn of the century, till about 1950. Families that are living home, two parents, one parent actually earns the bread. The other parent stays home and takes care of the kids. And they don't cart kids everywhere because there isn't anything happening down the street. Mom stays home, maybe bakes bread, maybe she buys Millbrook, but she's home, and that's it. And so there's lots of time for people to say, well, this night of this week is when you're going to do thus and thus and so and so. It's possible to create those situations, but we see ourselves in different situations. So I want to thank you for your forbearance, as there's been the absence of a children's choir, but it's been very purposeful in the sense that I wanted the kids to find the joy. I wanted the kids to find the exuberance. I wanted the kids to find the enthusiasm so that the kids would want to do it enough so the parents would say, well, it must be important to them. See, because it's all a question, isn't it really all a question of our priorities? I mean, we have so many things. You can't do everything. You can't do everything. I mean, there has to be a limit. You only have 7 days a week, and you only have so many hours in every day. So I want to thank you for your forbearance as we took down the scaffolding of what we were doing, looked to God about what God could do, and saw the sparkle of enthusiasm birthed in kids. We have no idea yet what we will be. We have no idea yet what we will be, but we do know this. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. We know that God loves us enough to lay down his life, loves us enough to present himself in the form of a man and pray that high priestly prayer that he did in, I think it's John 17, where he says, Father, I pray for these here that are mine, that you gave to me. I pray that you'll protect them and watch over them. I pray not only for them, but for those that will come later. That would be you and I. I pray that they will be in me, and they will be in you, and as I am in you and you are in me. Imagine that. That's insane. Jesus Christ knelt and prayed, God, put them inside of me, just like one of those nested Russian eggs or Russian dolls. Put them inside of me so that when I move and place myself inside of you, we'll all be one together. That's the truth, that Christ, that God, was reconciling the world, the whole world, to himself in Jesus Christ. That's really good news. So the question is, in my mind, in light of that reality, how should we live? Now, I know there's a couple different ways of rearing a child. I did that once or twice. You can discipline by being straightforward and saying, this is yes and this is no. Or you can discipline by distraction. Child's going to reach for something, you say, oh, look, and move the thing away. Well, you've never had to deal with the reality that this was okay and that wasn't okay. The same thing is true from the whole scriptural outlay that God has given us. The positive is love. What is the absence of love look like? Backbiting, talking about people behind their backs, divisiveness, struggle, strife. You'd never hear that here because I know Gail does not do that. But I, you know what? You can't fire me from the pulpit. So, but think about what those things are. Ought those things to be actually part of what we do, the whispers that we make inside the garments of Jesus? Think about it. We're the body of Christ that he has promised to present to himself without spot or wrinkle. But the amazing thing is, and he has no flat iron to do that, no bleach, but he's going to do it. So I've covered a lot of territory. I want to say we have no idea yet what God has in store for us, but we look forward to the future because we know God has the store. Thank you.
Amen.